Maishi Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagurjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Zitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vantakapa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranijananda Shadwaita Dadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 This is called an initiation. So an initiation generally has the meaning in English of beginning something. But initiation in the Krishna consciousness movement is not exactly the beginning. It is the third stage. The first stage is called Shraddha, Adal Shraddha. In the beginning there is some liking for Krishna consciousness, that this is nice. Something is nice. The food is nice. The music's nice. Something's nice. So that's called Shraddha, some liking. We have faith in things if they're nice, and we don't have faith in things if they're not nice. So if someone's nice to us, then we have faith in them. And if someone's not nice to us, then we don't have any faith in them. So faith is the beginning of any activity. And according to who we like and who likes us, then we associate with them. So that's called sadhu sangha. Specifically, sadhu sangha means associating with people who like Krishna. So if we like Krishna, then we associate with people who also like Krishna. And after associating with the people who like Krishna, then we may decide to take up the process by which we can actually become conscious of Krishna. So that's called Vajna Kriya. This process of initiation is the third step, called which recognizes that one is serious about the practice of Vajna Kriya. There are two types of Vajna Kriya. One is called Anishtata Vajna Kriya, unsteady practice of devotional service, and then Nishta, or Nishta Vajna Kriya, or steady practice of devotional service. So it's hoped that by the process of initiation, and by following the instructions coming down from disciple succession, then we can rise up to the platform of steady devotional service. From the platform of steady devotional service, one can develop ruchi, or taste. Steady devotional service means that one becomes situated on a platform which is above the influence of material consciousness. Srila Jiva Goswami has said that divyam gyanam tato dadyat koryat prapasya sangshayam tasmat dikteshi proktani deshikatta tatvakovida. He's defined initiation or diksha as divyam gyanam tato dadyat. It is a process by which we can learn how to hear transcendental knowledge. This knowledge is not something I made up. I have no capacity to make up any knowledge. Knowledge, real knowledge comes from God, from Krishna. at the beginning of the creation, Krishna, he spoke the instructions to the Creator, Lord Brahma, which are found in the Bhagavatam in 4 slokas, 4 different verses. And therefore, the entire creation and its paraphernalia, ingredients, activities, they're all explained by Lord Krishna and his representatives through the disciple succession. There's no need to invent something. There's no need to take anything away. Everything is already perfectly explained by Krishna. Of course, not all the knowledge is essential for understanding how to advance spiritually. There is knowledge within the Vedic literature about how to perform all kinds of sciences such as astronomy, astrology, and agriculture, Dhanurveda for war. Everything is there. And everything can be utilized in Krishna's service, but the most essential part of the Vedic knowledge is how to become free from material life. So this is called Divya Jnana, divine knowledge. So divine knowledge comes from Krishna, as all knowledge actually comes from Krishna, and it's delivered through the disciple succession. Krishna, according to our knowledge, he's in everyone's heart. As he himself says in Bhagavad Gita, that Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam, or Savasya Chaham Ridhi Sannivishto Matak Smritir Jnanam Aponam Cha. None of us are independent. We're all dependent upon Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for everything we're doing in this material world. Some who understand that dependency, they're called devotees. Others who try to deny that dependency, they're called non-devotees, or asuras. Therefore, the purpose of human life is to become conscious. It is not a question of learning some sectarian philosophy. Just like to the Western eye, we may look quite strange. As a matter of fact, we're considered quite strange, especially in Europe, different parts of the world, that this is some kind of dangerous cult, because they do things like have, you know, they chant Hare Krishna in the streets, they chant the names of God, they're vegetarians, they do all kinds of unusual things, hold fire sacrifices, who knows what happens during the fire sacrifice, what gets sacrificed. So people think it's quite strange because externally it appears to be different. One time when Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, the founder Acharya of our society, arrived in New York City around 1975, some reporters, they asked him that, why do your followers seem so different? Because it is not very common. Of course, nowadays it's common to see men with shaven heads. But it's not very common to see men with dhotis and tilak, women with saris. This is uncommon. And most of our activities will be seen by the common person as something external. So Prabhupada said, why are they different? Because they have to be different. Because they're spiritual and you're material. In other words, the difference is actually quite subtle, although it appears to be simply a matter of dress or where someone is living, but it's actually a question of consciousness. And that question of consciousness is not accepting some dogmatic philosophy because we believe it's so because some head person said it was so. Of course, our head person did say it was so. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in Russia and he was speaking to one professor of Indology. His name was Professor Katosky. So Professor Katosky, he did not believe in the Vedic philosophy, although he's a professor. But Prabhupada said, what is the difference between your philosophy, which at that time was communism, and our philosophy, the Vedic culture? What is the difference between your philosophy and our philosophy? You accept Lenin as your leader, and we accept Krishna as our leader. So essentially we're both taking someone as a leader and following it. So it's the same philosophy, at least accepting the idea of a leader. The question may be, who's the best leader? Whether Lenin is the best leader or Krishna is the best leader. That we have to examine. In any case, we have to accept someone as our leader and then follow them. That is our position. Now, our philosophy begins with understanding that we're not the body. That may not be a great revelation from people who come from the Veda culture, especially people who live in India, for instance. More or less, the majority of the people grow up with that understanding that there's a difference between myself and the body. In the Western world, there's many, many philosophers discussing the philosophy whether actually I am my body or am I mind or am I some ghost or spirit or something, what I am. So for hundreds of years, they've been pondering over that question. But Krishna answers it very simply. He says, Deno smindita dehe komaram yovanam jara tita dahantra praptir diryas tatra namuyati. He's saying that our body is changing. So most of us will agree with that. Of course, any sane person will agree that their body is changing. And we all have experience, if we think about it, that I myself within the body, I'm always the same person. That I had a 5-year-old body, I had a 15-year-old body, I have this body now, and even when I get an older body, as the body changes, still I'll be the same person. Everyone is confident like that. Those who are saving up for their future life when they retire, they're not saving up for someone else. They're saving up for themselves. Their body will be completely different, that's why they'll retire, but it's not that someone else will enter into their body and they're so kind that they're saving up their money for him or her. No, we know that I'll be in the body, but because the body will be in a different state, I must make some kind of arrangement for it, for the body. But the question is, what kind of arrangements I'm making for myself? That in the Western world, or in materialistic society, people don't think about what arrangements I'm going to make for myself. We're making so many arrangements for this body, which is destined very shortly to disappear, but the self within the body, who's going to live forever, that we don't make any arrangements for. If we can understand that actually the body's changing, but myself within the body, I'm the same, then we might consider what arrangements I'll make for myself. According to Bhagavad Gita, that it is not by an accident that we have this body now, and it won't be by an accident that we get our next body. And that body is not necessarily in the human form of life. It may be in a higher form of life, or it may be in a lower form of life, and it may be in a human form of life in a different circumstance. So that depends upon the work that we do. Purusha prakriti sohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. That the living entities, they follow the ways of life, trying to enjoy the three modes of nature. This is due to their association with those modes, and thus they meet with both good and evil amongst various species. So all of us, we have certain likes, we have different likes, dislikes, and according to our likes and dislikes, we associate with certain persons, and we avoid the association of other persons. And when we're associating with such persons, then we hear certain topics of conversation, we hear certain music, we hear there's a certain type of dress, certain food that people like, they like to share with each other. There are certain reciprocations of friendship or love between people in the material world. So according to our association, then we develop certain qualities. So initiation means that we're making a determined effort to accept divine qualities. Divine qualities means, or divine association, means to associate with devotees who are trying to follow the instructions coming down from Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as I said, Krishna has said that we're not this body, we're a spirit soul. Krishna has said that we get our different bodies according to our activities in this lifetime. And Krishna has also given us instructions how to live life in such a way as to make our next life spiritual, to go back to the spiritual world. Or even if we don't go back to the spiritual world, if we don't complete this in this lifetime, getting another opportunity to come back and associate with devotees and follow the process of devotional service and Krishna consciousness, so that in a short period of time, sooner or later, we'll become qualified to join with Krishna and then go back to the spiritual world. So that process is not something anyone has to invent. It is not that, for instance, I'm going to give beads today, names and initiation. It is not something that I invented, therefore I'm sitting up here giving this talk or giving initiation. Actually, all of us, we're all servants of Krishna acting in consecutive disciple succession. None of us, as devotees of Krishna, have anything to invent, nor do we have to take away from what Krishna has said. And especially Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada, who's the founder acharya of our society, who's the representative of Krishna coming down in disciple succession, who's created this ISKCON movement, and we're all here today due to his mercy, because he not only understood what his spiritual master said as a representative of Krishna, but he understood in such a practical way he was able to manifest all over the world Krishna consciousness. Although we may not be on the same level as the most advanced devotees in Krishna consciousness, just the fact that we're trying to understand their philosophy and we've dedicated our energy to some extent in the service of Krishna means that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not something sectarian. It is not something Indian or Hindu. It is not something pertaining to this material world. Otherwise, how would it be possible that in a very short period of time, in practically every country around the world, there are followers of this philosophy and this culture of Krishna consciousness? So Srila Prabhupada, he gave us the knowledge coming down from Lord Krishna in disciple succession, and specifically from an incarnation of Lord Krishna called Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who practically showed us in this age how to make rapid progress to reviving again our original consciousness, to awaken our original self, our natural selves, our eternal self, so that we can actually become aware of things as they are. We are not creating God. It is not our God Krishna that we're talking about. Whether we call God Jehovah or Yahweh or Adonai, God is God. The person who's moving the sun in its orbit is not someone sectarian. It is not that one day a Hindu god moves the sun in its orbit and the next day a Christian god takes over. That way, all the religions, everyone's God gets a chance to do something. The same God who the Christians call one name, or the Hindus call another name, or the Muslims call someone else, there's one God, and that one God is the one who's supplying all the different ingredients and material elements, as well as all the different activities of this material world. By his will, under his supervision, everything in this material world goes on, from the clouds giving rain to the sun moving its orbit, all the planets moving their orbits, the snowflakes falling, precise geometric patterns. Everything is going on by the will of Govinda. So Lord Govinda, he came 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's given us a very practical method in this age of becoming Krishna conscious again, of waking up to our original identity and resuming our original lives, our eternal lives, which are full of happiness, perpetually increasing happiness, in full consciousness. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he created the Sankirtan movement, and there is a line of teachers coming up to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada showed us the most practical way of applying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in this age, especially based upon chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So our aim is by chanting Hare Krishna, is to smarta vyaksaratam vishnor vismartak na jatu kinchit sarvavidhi nisevyasur etayor eva kinkara. Our philosophy is always remember Krishna and never forget him. There may be many varieties of ceremonies and rituals and different things that we read about and hear about. There may be so many rules and regulations that we follow. But the whole idea of all these rules and regulations is so that we can always remember Lord Krishna and never forget him. Of course, if one is in pure consciousness, if one's original consciousness is revived, then there's no possibility of ever forgetting Krishna, because for a pure devotee, he can understand or she can understand that there's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. And everyone and everything is intimately connected with Krishna eternally. But by this process of Krishna consciousness, gradually our consciousness can become more and more fixed upon Krishna. And as our consciousness becomes more and more fixed upon Krishna, due to our love and our devotion for Krishna, then our original awareness of Krishna and our original love for Krishna will be revived. Just like if you strike a match, then automatically the fire will come out in blazing light. Similarly, by this process of Krishna consciousness, the whole idea is to revive our consciousness of Krishna so that our original love for Krishna, prema pramartha mahan, can be invoked. And the primary method is the chanting of Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, living in a holy place, serving the devotees. That by these activities, they're the most powerful towards helping us revive our original Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada has created a society based upon these five activities and has given many persons the opportunity to participate. And those who want to take it seriously, they accept certain vows so that if they follow the instructions as coming through the Sipa succession. It is not that only one person in our society has this knowledge. This knowledge is open to everyone. It is all found within the books of our spiritual master. And we can say that these books are not exactly his books. They're actually Lord Krishna's books. They're not different from the original knowledge that Krishna imparted 5,000 years ago in the Bhagavad Gita or Srila Vyasadeva. Lord Krishna's representative, compiled 5,000 years ago. So within these books is all the knowledge. There is nothing that anyone within our society is supposed to say which is different from this knowledge. So then the question is, why do we have to accept anyone as our guide? Because although the knowledge is full and available to everyone, still we have to decide which part of the knowledge is necessary for us. Now, it should actually be quite simple if we keep in mind that our whole aim is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Therefore, Prabhupada writes that we have to try to arrange our lives in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours a day, we cannot help but think of Krishna. So that should be very simple. Unfortunately, it's not. It's a little bit more complicated because we're more complicated. Because we're a little complicated and there are many things to do. Therefore, we have to learn how to arrange our lives. So, in order to help us arrange our lives, there are different guides. Guide means anyone who knows better how to arrange our lives than we do, then they can help us arrange our lives in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours a day, we cannot help but think of Krishna. Therefore, there is a certain structure within our society so that we can recognize who is our guides to help us do that. But that's all we have to do. So this is the process of Divya Gyanam Tato Dadyat. It's a process. So the guide, for instance, the person who's giving initiation or the devotee, his aim is to help the disciple learn how to fix the mind upon Krishna. There's nothing else to the relationship. That's sufficient. That relationship is enough. If the spiritual master can give the disciple Krishna, then the disciple gets everything. And the spiritual master, he has to also help to train the disciple how to take help from others, so they can also learn from others how to get Krishna. All the devotees within our society, to different degrees, they've had some knowledge and some experience of Krishna, and therefore we have to become servants of all the devotees, and this way we can take advantage of their association, and in this way get the most valuable thing in life, which is Krishna. Not only Krishna, but service to Krishna and love for Krishna. Therefore, the spiritual master or the spiritual masters, they train the disciples how to appreciate the devotees in such a way is that they can learn how to serve them appropriately. How to see Krishna as the ultimate objective of life, and how to serve him and love him, and how to participate in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is actually Lord Krishna's desire, because service does not mean just anything. Service means to do something which is pleasing to Krishna, and Krishna has very clearly and repeatedly declared that Ya imam paramam kuryam mad bhakteshva vidashati bhakti mahi param kritva mame vaishatya samshaya. That there is no one in this world more dear to me than those who instruct others about the science of Krishna consciousness. So our movement is a preaching movement. The movement founded by Srila Prabhupada is a movement to inform others about Krishna. There may be other movements that people are, the devotees are trying to become self-realized by some other means. But our primary method of self-realization is not only to chant Hare Krishna for ourselves, but also to give Krishna to others. This is what Krishna has asked us to do, is service to him. And also Lord Chaitanya came 5,000 years ago, 500 years ago, and he said the same thing. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guru hayatar edesh. That whoever you meet, you instruct them about Krishna. It doesn't mean that in order to instruct about someone about Krishna, one has to get a stick that looks like this and put on orange robes and sit on a seat like this, and then we can instruct people about Krishna. No, anyone we meet, we can instruct them about Krishna, and this way become guru. Srila Prabhupada used to mention one little girl, her name was Saraswati. She was 2 years old, and she would walk up to people, and she'd ask them, do you know who Krishna is? And if they said no, she'd tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada said this is perfect preaching. We don't have to become great scholars, although sometimes people ask us questions and we should be prepared to answer them. But generally, all we do is have to become convinced ourselves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and tell other people that. And if we know a little bit more, we'll understand that Krishna, he owns everything. And that everything here is meant for Krishna's service, for his pleasure, and that our real friend is Krishna. So if we recognize Krishna as the proprietor, and we utilize everything in Krishna's service, then Krishna will give us all facility. He'll give us all happiness. He'll give us all knowledge. He'll give us everything we desire if we become a sincere servant of Krishna. Yatatara mula nishechnena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pushaka pranarahana rachcha yatendriyanam tattaiva sarvahanam atiteja. That if we water the root of the tree, we serve Lord Krishna, then automatically the water will go to all the leaves and branches. Our service will be distributed to everyone, all the demigods and to all living entities, and even to ourselves. Or by supplying food to the stomach, automatically food will be given to all the different parts of the body. So simply by serving Lord Krishna, everyone is benefited, ourselves included. There is no question of actually benefiting anyone or even ourselves without Krishna consciousness. everyone is looking for the object of love, so the highest object of love is Lord Krishna. And when we give our love to Lord Krishna, then automatically our love will be distributed to all living entities. That we'll actually be able to appreciate everyone and be able to render them the best service. So one who's convinced about that philosophy, then he's called a devotee of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this process. Srila Prabhupada is most aware through the disciple succession, especially Srila Rupa Goswami has explained our philosophy in books such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has presented as the Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. So if we study these books and we learn from the devotees how to practice what's in the books, then it's assured that our consciousness of Krishna will be revived. And as I said, the essential point is this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are different things that we want to avoid when we're chanting and different things that we want to practice. Because this practice is possible to senses and try to learn how to chant Hare Krishna with attention and with devotion, with love. Love may be defined many different ways. And Srila Prabhupada's book, when we hear the word love, it probably invokes all kinds of things within everyone's remembrance. People will interpret the word love in many different ways. Because in the Western world, we love our wife sometimes. Sometimes we love our friends. We love our dog. We love our cat. We love our children. We love our house. We love our favorite football team. Therefore, what does it mean when we say love? Love for Krishna. Or chant Hare Krishna with love. So Prabhupada has defined it many different ways. With care and attention. To chant attentively, with care, with affection, with enthusiasm. Practically speaking, anything we like, we pay attention to. Anything we don't like, we try to forget about. So love begins with just paying some attention. And then if we actually pay attention and we like something, then we become more enthusiastic, more encouraged. So chanting Hare Krishna with attention means that we may not like it at first, but if we keep on paying attention, then eventually Krishna will give us the intelligence how to actually chant with some affection, with some love, so that Krishna can reciprocate with us. Krishna says, the only thing that we have to offer him is our love. That may not seem like a big thing to most people, but to Krishna, that's a big thing. In the spiritual world, that's the only thing that goes on. Here in the material world, everyone is dreaming about love and singing about it and writing books about it and trying to make arrangements for it, but it's one thing that's lacking in the material world, eternal love. Although it's on everyone's list to acquire. But that's possible when we actually find the supreme lovable person, who's Krishna. So Krishna and his name are non-different. So if we chant Hare Krishna with some attention and with some enthusiasm, then the result is that gradually we'll actually remember Krishna. It is not something impossible. Or something mystical. Every other word in the dictionary, if we chant its name, we'll probably remember something. If we chant dog, then probably our favorite dog, like Lassie or something like that, will appear within our heart. So if we chant Krishna's name, why should Krishna not appear within our heart? And Krishna being non-different from himself and being all attractive, gradually he'll attract us simply by chanting Hare Krishna. As we become more sincere about chanting, then Krishna will very gladly reveal himself to us, and then our eternal relation with Krishna will be developed again. So there are 10 things to avoid when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and they're called the 10 offenses. They also have their positive aspect. One is that, the first offense it says, It's the blessing of the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagating the holy name of the Lord. Actually, the real propagator of the holy name of the Lord is Lord Krishna. Because Krishna, he's inspiring everyone within their heart, whatever they're doing. We desire something, and Lord Krishna is fulfilling that desire. So those who are desiring to serve Lord Krishna, those who desire to serve their spiritual master in disciple succession, they become an instrument for Krishna, and they allow Krishna to, through them, through their present material senses and body and mind and intelligence, allow Krishna to preach about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna is the real preacher, and he's manifested himself in so many different devotees. Therefore, Krishna says, Acharyamam vidanitam nava mangita karhichit. Once you know the Acharya as my very self, and Shiksha Guru Ke, that once you know the persons, the devotees who are preaching as being actually Krishna's representatives. Maybe to different degrees of intensity, but anyone who's preaching Krishna consciousness, we should know that to what extent they're able to do it is because Krishna is manifesting himself through them. Therefore, not only should we avoid offending the devotees, but we should also learn how to serve them with the same attention and devotion we reserve for serving Lord Krishna. Maybe to different degrees, according to their commitment of trying to help us come back to the spiritual world. But in any case, anyone who's propagating Krishna consciousness, they should be respected as Krishna's representative. Then we'll be able to see Krishna through them. Or we should say Krishna will manifest himself through that devotee. Krishna can manifest himself through anyone, but he especially manifests himself through his devotees. And therefore, we should, instead of avoiding offending the devotees, we should be enthusiastic about assisting them and serving them. The second offense is consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. So, of course, practically speaking, in the Western world at least, no one believes in Lord, no one knows about Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, so that doesn't seem like a very difficult offense to avoid, because we don't have any faith in them anyhow. But we do have faith in other persons from our past, and we like to chant about their names and forms and pastimes and qualities. Sometimes we think that they may be equal to Krishna in some ways. In any case, we should understand the exalted position of such personalities as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, give them all respect, and other persons, we can also respect them. It is not that we are against anyone, we are actually for everyone. We are interested in offering everyone respect suitable for their activities. When Srila Prabhupada gave the first initiations, then two of his disciples, Brahmananda and Gargamuni Prabhus, their mother was present at the initiation, and after the initiation, Prabhupada told Gargamuni and Brahmananda to bow down before their mother. Because mother must be nice mother, has some devotees, her two sons have become devotees, must be a special mother. So they bowed down before her mother. And then Prabhupada asked her for a donation, the mother. And she said, "Oh, I've given you two sons, what more do you want?" In any case, we have to learn how to respect everyone appropriately. What to speak of highly placed demigods such as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but we should never equate anyone as being on the same level as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. There's the difference between the source of everything and the energy. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, consider him an ordinary person. So, the spiritual master, if he's bona fide, and what does bona fide mean? It doesn't mean that necessarily the spiritual master is seeing Krishna face to face and is constantly in his heart shaking hands with Krishna. It is not that necessarily he has, you know, as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the spiritual master is generally known as an intimate servant of Lord Nityananda or a personal associate or a servant of Srimati Radharani. Of course, anyone who's engaged in Krishna service, especially in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they must be a servant of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, and therefore anyone who's serving their guru, they're serving Lord Nityananda through him. And Srimati Radharani, without her, there's no such thing as devotional service. She is devotional service personified. Anyone who's doing any service, it's because they're being inspired by her. But there may be different degrees of awareness of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. But still, as I said, the actual knowledge is coming from Krishna through the simple succession. Therefore, even if the spiritual master is not completely perfect, that if we take the orders coming down into simple succession from him or her and follow them to our full heartedness, with our full enthusiasm, with our full conviction, then even if the spiritual master is not completely perfect, then we'll become completely perfect. The actual spiritual master, when he becomes aware, he becomes aware of the fact that he's not actually the doer, that Lord Krishna is actually the doer. If he's actually properly serving Krishna, then Krishna is manifesting the knowledge by giving through him. Krishna within the heart, his spiritual master within the heart, are giving the necessary knowledge in order to perform devotional service and convey those instructions to others. And that way, the spiritual master, or any spiritual master, whether Diksha or Shiksha, are not someone ordinary. And if we follow their instructions, then we'll be benefited, we'll remember Krishna, we won't forget him, we'll go back to the spiritual world. And the fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The Vedic version, or the Vedic literature, is very extensive. Sometimes we'll find things within it which we cannot understand at all, and we'll think that this is crazy or something like that. This is completely impossible. Therefore, we should not be overly concerned with the things that we can't understand, or there's no possibility to understand. To give a controversial example, just like within our society and without our society, there is this unimportant question about where the jiva came from. Personally, I know one jiva came from New York. His name is Jiva Das. He comes from New York. So maybe that was what the whole controversy was about. But actually, where the jiva comes from is not very important. Whether he comes from the spiritual world or he comes from the Brahma Jyoti, what difference does it make? Just like if you're drowning in the ocean, the first question you ask is not how I got here. When the boat comes to deliver you, immediately it asks, well, the first question you ask is, how did I get here? And then everyone's considering, while you're drowning in the ocean, how you got there. And there's a whole philosophical debate upon how it all happened, etc. And then in the meantime, you drowned. No, your first question is how to get out of here, how to get out of the ocean. What does it matter how you got there? The important thing is how to get out of here. So this waste of time with such issues as how the jiva got here, which ultimately leads to frustration, because there may be many possibilities, and not all of them may pertain to everyone. There's even a possibility that not everyone is coming from the same place. In any case, whatever the issue is, it's a waste of time for our advancement in devotional service. So similarly, there are many things within the Vedic literature which go completely beyond our understanding. So does that mean that that's what we should try to figure out, something we can't figure out? No, that's a waste of time. What we should try to figure out is what we can figure out. We should try to realize, first of all, that I'm not this body, and that I'm actually Krishna's servant. Practical devotional service. How to put a garland on Lord Krishna is much more important than trying to figure out where the jiva came from. To try and figure out where our garlands are going to come from to put on Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani is much more important than to figure out where the jiva came from. Or to figure out what it's like on different dvipas. These things are much more important, how to please Krishna today. What does Krishna want to eat? How to decorate Krishna? How to serve Krishna's devotees? These questions are much more important than all so many different types of philosophy that's sometimes found within the Vedic literature. So that's what we should be more concerned with, and if there's something we don't understand, then we should simply hold it for some future time, with the possibility that at some future time we may be able to understand it. So, the fifth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna, the glories, as being something imaginary. Of course, not everyone who chants Hare Krishna will get the same experience. Not everyone who performs devotional service will also have the same experience. But we shouldn't think because someone is writing about their experience and because we're not having that experience, therefore it must be an imagination what they're saying that they're experiencing. If we learn the science, then gradually all the different glories of the Hare Krishna mantra will be revealed to us. Therefore we should simply be patient, chant with confidence and enthusiasm, and gradually these things will be revealed. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation of the holy name. The holy name has an effect, not because of some material reason, but it has an effect because it's non-different from Krishna. And everything that can be obtained by personally associating with Krishna and his transcendental abode and associates can also be obtained by just simply by chanting Hare Krishna purely without any offense. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. In this material world, we have a tendency to want to control the material world and enjoy it. So that tendency doesn't go away so quickly. And sometimes there's a reaction to our enjoying tendency and our controlling a tendency. We find ourselves in difficulty. But we should not think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is a method to avoid the difficulties. That this material world is a place where there's always difficulty, but the chanting of Hare Krishna is primarily to get us out of our material activities and bring us back to our spiritual activities. Therefore, somehow or another, we perform material activities. We should not use the Hare Krishna mantra as a means to free ourselves from the reaction. It's not like, well, anyhow. And the eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna to be one of the ritualistic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities of karmakanda. By chanting Hare Krishna, one can be in the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is a completely different place than this material world. On the higher levels of the material world, we get closer and closer to what spiritual life is like, but spiritual life begins from Vaikuntha all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. So chanting Hare Krishna can bring us from the lowest platform of material life all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. We should not consider it as a method of elevating ourselves materially, or a means of elevating ourselves materially, although it will accomplish that and more automatically. But by chanting Hare Krishna, our aim is not some better material situation. Our aim is the spiritual world. And by chanting Hare Krishna, the benefit we get is eternal. It's not something temporary. By performing some pious activity, or by going to work, or gaining money, we may get something materially auspicious, but that's temporary. But by performing devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna, we get eternal benefit. And that benefit goes life after life. Even if we can't complete devotional service in one life, we'll be able to continue it in our next lifetime, for where we left off. The ninth offense is to instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. We have to preach. That is our mission, is to preach. But we have to learn how to preach appropriately. Preaching appropriately is rather subtle. For instance, when one is giving class, when they give general instructions, because there may be many different persons who are present in the audience, but when we're preaching personally to people, the real aim is to get them to do something for Krishna, perform some devotional service. If we preach in such a way as that they can't have any, they have no idea what we're talking about, or if later on they become disappointed in how we acted and therefore become averse to the service of Krishna, that preaching may not be so beneficial. Therefore, we have to find the ways and means to preach to people so they can understand what we're talking about and do something practical in the service of Krishna. That will be our success. And the tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So that and it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. We've come here to the material world and we remain here because we're materially attached. But we have to be prepared to give up some of our material attachments. Not all of them at once. That's impossible. Because we're not even aware of how many material attachments we have. Generally, we give up one material attachment and we walk around with our heads in the cloud that now I've become a pure devotee. Little do we know that behind the one attachment, there are quite a number of other material attachments that also have to be given up. In any case, we have to learn to recognize the material attachments. Material attachment means something we don't want to give to Krishna. Something we want to keep for ourselves. Something we want to enjoy, we don't want to offer to Krishna to enjoy. So we have to recognize those things and gradually offer everything and then finally offer our very self to Krishna. In other words, it's very difficult to offer ourselves to Krishna when we're keeping so many other things for ourselves. And that's possible just by paying attention. It is said, yogas chalati manasa, maya will come and try and distract us. So it's not that maya has to, when we're not looking, suddenly appear before us and distract us. Practically speaking, we're always distracted. We only realize that we're distracted when we start chanting Hare Krishna. Then all of a sudden we realize how distracted I actually am. So often we start chanting Hare Krishna and we think, oh, I have no taste for chanting. My mind is so disturbed since I've been chanting Hare Krishna. Better to do something else. But actually, we're always being distracted by maya. But we only become aware of it when we take up the process of devotional service and begin chanting Hare Krishna. So we have to give up our attachment to all these ideas that are constantly flowing through our mind. Beep, beep, remember you got to do this. Beep, beep, they did this to you last week. Beep, beep, be watch out. Next week, what's going to happen? You don't have time to think about Krishna. You have so many other things you got to do today. You got to make plans while you're chanting. You don't have time. This is important to think about. You can chant later. Just get your rounds done and think about this. So maya, while we're chanting, will give us a million things to think about. So we can bet 100% that everything that we're thinking about while we're chanting Hare Krishna is just some other material attachment. Of course, it may be in devotional service. It may be something about our duties in devotional service. But our real duty in devotional service is to love Krishna. That's our ultimate objective. If we love Krishna, and everything we'll be doing is actually devotional service. Therefore, if there's actually something in devotional service is important, Not that we should forget about it, but we should write it down on a piece of paper. And then go on with trying to hear and chant about Krishna, trying to become conscious of Krishna. And if other things come to the mind, then our duty is just to forget about it. Unless, of course, the roof is caving in and we're under the roof, then we might have to make certain adjustments while we're chanting. But generally speaking, most of the things that we think about are just a waste of time. Therefore, we should chant with some attention, confident that somehow or another Krishna will make the arrangements. That all these anxieties I have about what's happening now, what happened in the past, and what's going to happen in the future, we can be assured if we become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will make all the arrangements. We don't have to take Krishna's position. He has a service, Krishna has a service, he's the all-pervading super soul. There's no need for any of us to take over his service. He's doing a good job, whether we know about it or not. He's completely capable. He doesn't need really so much assistance from us to be the all-pervading super soul. He's been doing it since time immemorial. He's quite trained up. He'll make all the arrangements for the past, present, and future. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga shemam vahamyaha. If we believe Krishna, then he says, for those who are constantly devoted to me, meditating upon my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So we should have confidence in this instruction and simply try to pay attention to what we're doing for Krishna, concentrate on his transcendental form, and Krishna will take care of everything else. And if there's something he wants us to take care of, he'll let us know. But that's the first thing he wants us to take care of. So we chant Hare Krishna, avoid these 10 offenses, try to understand the positive aspects of how to do service with love and attention, with love and devotion. Then, gradually our original love for Krishna will be revoked, our original consciousness of Krishna will be revived, and then everything will become very clear. We won't have any more problems or anxieties. So this is on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and especially its founder, Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who's given us the lifestyle and the teachings in order to revive our Krishna consciousness. Therefore, on his behalf, we give initiation. There's also one Gayatri initiation being given, but I don't think we have time to go over everything about Gayatri. But Gayatri is a science of learning how to meditate upon Krishna. We also have meditation in Krishna consciousness, and that meditation is upon the form, the quality, the pastimes, the loving exchanges with Krishna. That begins at the mode of goodness. When we reach the mode of goodness, which is brahminical state of nishtha, we're able to fix the mind a little bit more upon Krishna. So then we can actually concentrate on the different aspects of Krishna in a more consistent, substantial way. So for that reason, a mantra is given, or mantras, that we can practice meditating upon Krishna and get his association with Krishna and his followers in that way. And also, the initiation is given on behalf of the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is not that the only person giving instructions within our society is the person giving diksha. There are so many representatives of Krishna. We have to intelligently understand everyone's instructions, even Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We have to intelligently understand them through studying his books and also through inquiring from his representatives. So anyone who can help us understand Prabhupada's teachings and become a better follower of Prabhupada, she has to be taken as guru. And even Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that he saw his own disciples as guru, in the sense that he understood that he was the instrument for his spiritual master and for Krishna, and that whatever instructions and activities he was manifesting in devotional service were ultimately coming from them. His credit was that he was a surrendered soul to them. And therefore, when he saw his disciples and followers following his examples and following his instructions, he understood that these were actually coming from his spiritual master, and therefore by appreciating them and seeing them how they were serving his spiritual master, he was also learning from them how to become a better servant of his spiritual master. Therefore, our aim is to become eternally servants of all the devotees. The spiritual master trains us in that, how to appropriately serve all the different devotees, all living entities within this universe, by learning to serve Krishna, by becoming closer and closer to Krishna and his bona fide representatives. So for that reason, especially our society, where the ultimate authority is the GBC body, therefore we have to take seriously their instructions, and not that we blindly follow them, not even that my disciples, those who take initiation from me, should blindly follow me. We have to take everything and try to understand it with all reasoning. Of course, certain things don't require reasoning. If we ask someone to get a glass of water, you don't have to have a philosophical debate about water. So certain things are quite obvious. We don't have to waste our time questioning them. Our aim is spontaneous devotional service. Spontaneous devotional service is based upon faith and knowledge. So things are very clear, simple, and we have faith and enthusiasm to render service, and we should simply do that. But if we don't have the knowledge and we don't have the faith, not that we pretend that we have knowledge, pretend that we have faith, then we should first of all acquire faith and knowledge by humble inquisitiveness. And when we get the faith and knowledge, then we can execute the service in the proper way to get the proper result. So everyone in the society, we may have more faith, they may be giving us more or less knowledge. It is understood that we hope that our GBC body gives us, in general, for all the devotees and the GBC representatives, they give us the knowledge, and they, by their activities, they give us the faith by which we can follow their instructions and therefore become better devotees and spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's requested that we also have faith in the authority structure given to us by Srila Prabhupada and try to follow their instructions with all reason